this is Rev Hannah, the senior pastor at Hollywood United Methodist Church. Welcome back to another episode of Our Story, the podcast. Today, on this short story episode, I'm joined by Donna Miller, who is going to be sharing with us a little bit about Tidor. Donna, do you mind sharing with us what that means to you?
Well, first of all, for those that don't know, Tidor is Transgender Day of Remembrance, which was started, I guess, in 1999. So this is actually the 25th anniversary of that. So Tidor is T-D-O-R, and sometimes we like to add the extra R so that we can make it Transgender Day of Remembrance and Resilience.
Beautiful.
So the reason that it was started is actually a bit of a sad one, because it is honoring our dead. Mm. That is the transgender people and non-binary people that were killed during the year due to hate crimes against trans people.
This year and in the years leading up to this, we've been seeing an increase.
Yeah, we've definitely seen an uptick in anti-trans sentiment, even on the so-called liberal sphere. I think that unfortunately, the messaging does have an effect to sort of drag everybody towards one pole or the other, you know.
And we have research coming out, I have here on my iPad, from the Trevor Project, that up to 72% increase in suicide attempts among transgender non-binary youth, depending on the location, the area, up to 72% increase because of these anti-trans laws that have been being discussed and going into effect.
It is really sad to see this happen. I really feel for the kids these days who are growing up with this. Mm-hmm. At least when I was a kid, it was just not talked about. And it was something that not really anybody was aware of. And so, therefore, it was hard. It was difficult to transition. It was difficult to come out and things like that. But nowadays, we have such a heightened profile that that kids are facing active, you know, bullying and transphobia in schools, in their homes, at church, and any place. Yeah.
And a lot of times we see this being discussed in the political realm, and we can feel anger about how we are hearing people discussed. But we kind of sometimes don't always stay rooted and aware of the real human toll and the cost of the people being discussed.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if you can share what does that feel like for you, or how have you seen it impacting your community?
That's tough. I mean, for me personally, yeah. I mean, my anxiety is certainly much higher than it used to be. Hmm. I'm uncertain about the future. And as many of my friends have told me, you know, they're looking for alternative plans about what are they going to do if, you know, things go this way or that way. What are we going to do if things get much worse? And honestly, I don't know what the solution is, other than trying to bring awareness to the specific kind of needs that our community has, which is honestly, we're such a tiny percentage of the population. And for them to focus on us as a wedge issue, I think is just really sad, because we are not hurting anyone. And it's really the negative impact on us is so much greater than the outward impact our community would have on the greater population.
It's a societal level form of bullying to pick somebody, to try to feel powerful by harming them.
Yeah. And, you know, bullying is certainly one way of putting it. But at this point, it's really, you could consider this to be a trans genocide in a way, because, you know, they're writing laws to keep us from living, essentially, from getting the healthcare we need, from even being recognized in public spaces. They want to control. I think it's just really cruel, honestly.
Right. And I think we'd all recognize how important those of us that are involved in sports in school recognize how important that was to our health and to our forming of identity and belonging, being part of teams. Mm. And so trying to exclude people from sports teams, which for many people can be such a foundational part of emotional, spiritual, physical health.
Yeah, I would agree. And when you have someone or a group of people writing laws that really is only going to affect like one or two teenagers in the entire state.
Right.
You know, that's kind of a very like, you know, you two people in particular, that is a very targeted kind of, you know, it's basically just showing it's red meat to their base. They're trying to put on a show for everyone else, but they are not even thinking, or maybe they are thinking about it and they figure that this is acceptable collateral damage.
Yeah. Now, if you don't mind me getting real for a minute, Donna, for those young people, for those youth, somebody like yourself who has excelled in so many areas, who has such a high level of skill, who helps people perform and record music, and all of the many things that you do, the way that you're visible through the trans chorus of LA, you're somebody that they can look up to. So what do you want them to hear?
Well, at the risk of sounding cliche, it does get better. It certainly does get better. And if you're living at home where you're experiencing transphobia at home, you know, it's tough to deal with, but there is hope. Because once you're an adult, you are able to make your own decisions and get to a place that's affirming and welcoming and accepting. And there is community out there. You can always form your own family with the community members. A lot of us end up having to do that. So I think it may feel bleak. It may feel like there's nothing to live for, but that's absolutely not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the internet provides that. It provides opportunity for people to experience and see the bullying that takes place, but it also provides the opportunity for them to experience the community and hope that people like yourselves and this podcast offers.
Yes, exactly. There are safe spaces out there, even if they're virtual ones. And, you know, it's tough sometimes to engage with the internet because there is a lot of visible transphobia and hate and homophobia and things like that. So it's best to remember that you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Self-care means don't self-harm. And that can be digital self-harm too, by reading hateful comments and things like that. Avoid those things. It's not good for your health, and it's not going to help anyone. So.
Yeah. A couple of resources for young people that are fairly safe and vetted is one is our Bible app, which is put together by LGBTQ folks. It's a Bible-based app where it's somewhat more free of those kinds of conversations. Another is Church of the Young Prophets, that's led by a gay man, J.J. Warren. And so those are some things you can look up if for young people looking for resources. For folks that are out there that are wanting to really show up in a way that will help, what is it that you need from people who are wanting to be good allies to our trans community in this season?
I think one of the ways is just to show up, just to be there, to be clear about your support. To be vocal about your support, to call out transphobia whenever possible. I think that kids and questioning people can certainly benefit from people who are outwardly showing not just acceptance, but affirmation for trans people.
Well, here's a question that might be a more emotionally weighted one, but for parents who have a child that comes to them and is sharing with them that they're trans or non-binary, what is it that you feel like you wanted to hear, and how how can they be helpful to their child?
I think one of the best ways is to just listen to the kid and let things happen naturally how they would. And the other thing I think too is to, if you have feelings of sadness about the future that you had imagined for your child, it's best to keep those feelings to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the worst things I think you can say to your kid is, it's like I had a death in the family.
Yeah.
Or part of the thing is realizing how, which part of it is the future you had hoped for and imagined for your child, and which part is the thing that you are hoping to provide for them, which is a safe space, a loving home, a place where they can explore and learn about themselves, you know, while growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. That language, introducing death into the conversation by saying it's as if somebody has died, is, you do hear people doing that a lot.
It's prevalent, unfortunately. And I understand, I guess, as a parent myself, I guess I can understand how that would be your reaction, but to be on the receiving end of it is such a heartbreak,
yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
I think it's important, perhaps, for those of us who are seeking to be allies to be thinking about these things intentionally in advance, to be thinking more open-mindedly instead of having a set course for like how we plan, right, for the young people in our lives' mm-hmm. life to go, but mm-hmm. more open-minded, just adopting a more open-minded attitude towards them in general, so that whatever it is that they tell us, we can be open and supportive and not have our own decisions made up about what is the best for them or what their lives should be, so that diminish that chance for that shock and that bad
yeah.
response if we've already prepared ourselves to be more open-minded and supportive of what God calls them into, how God has made them, and what God has planned for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of our own plans.
Yes. And realize also that, like, you're going to make mistakes as you go along, and mm-hmm. it's not the end of the world. You know, if your kid comes out and says, oh, I want to use a new name, or I want to use the new pronouns, you know, the best way to do it is just listen and say, okay,
yeah,
you know, and I'm going to try and do this. Yes. If I make a mistake, please don't feel bad, because I'm still learning. And that way they know that you're putting in an effort, you know,
yeah.
And if they feel any certain way about that, they can always come to you. You know, I think just expressing that there's an open channel of communication and that your underlying support is there regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. As we come into this season, I know that there are trans and non-binary young people within our own communities
mm-hmm.
that are going to be traveling through the season and seeing awareness raised. And so I guess, what are kind of your final words, the message from Donna, from Auntie Donna,
yes,
of what you want them to hear?
I guess I just wanted to reassure them that it will be okay eventually. And even when things aren't going that great, we do have each other. Mm-hmm. So there's always support within the trans community that you can find, whether that's online or in your local chapter of PFLAG or other places. There's usually a trans support group in every major city. For groups like the Trans Chorus, you know, we're trying to raise awareness and raise visibility for the trans community and also uplift us all through song.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess keep your chin up.
Thank you so much. The GLAAD website, GLAAD, has a TDOR section with lots of information and links if you, as a parent or a community member, want to learn more about how to do well in this season. So grateful for you, Donna.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that the young trans and non-binary folks in my life have somebody like you to look to as an example and as a comfort, and so grateful for the work that you are doing in the world. So thank you, and thank you for sharing this time with us and being in conversation, sharing from your heart
in
this moment. So thank you so much for joining us for this short story episode of Our Story, the podcast. We look forward to being with you next time.